Now, it's good to be here tonight. It's a real privilege to be here in Huntington, West Virginia, and to know that people care enough to come out to be with God and to come out to God's house. Our crowd has been pretty small. One night it goes up a good bit, and then the next night it goes down. Last night we had a right good crowd here. Tonight it's gone back down. Night before last it was poor, and it came back up. But you know, as I said last night, it doesn't bother me. I know that the Lord has sent me here for purpose. And even though I wish the house was filled up, yet it doesn't move me, because one of the greatest things in all of the history of mankind is taking place, and I've got a
praise the Lord. Amen.
And Brother Taylor said that there wouldn't hardly be standing room around if people knew, because he was speaking, said if they knew who I was. And of course, I'm just the Son of God. I'm the least of all of them. But I can truthfully say this tonight, that if people knew why I was here and what was happening, this is really going to sound far out. I don't know how far 64 Highway is from here, but it's a long way, but you couldn't even get near the other side of it. Not within 100 miles around, you couldn't get near it if they really knew. That does sound way out, don't it? You thought what Brother Taylor said sounded out, you know, way out. But I'm telling you the truth before the living God. If they knew, the world tonight would be catching the planes coming from the other side of the ocean and from everywhere, and they'd be here. But see, Jesus chooses the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. And he hides it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and reveals it unto babes such as will learn, to keep the world from knowing what's going on. But I praise God tonight, because when Jesus the Christ came, he came in a manger. All of the world would have traveled from the ends of the world to have got to that little manger had they known. But they didn't know, did they? I'm thankful to be here tonight. I want to read a little bit over in the book of Daniel in the 12th chapter. I'd like to say that it's a real privilege to be here with Brother Ernie. Brother Ernie's been very kind to us, and he loves the Lord, and he wants to do everything that he can to make the meeting a success. And I really appreciate a person like that. But I can truthfully assure you that it's one of the greatest successes that you'll ever see. It's just that a lot of people don't understand how to look at things. Having eyes, they see not. And having ears, they hear not. Chapter 12, I want to read beginning at the first verse. And I want you to listen. I feel that my wife is the closest one to me, perhaps, than anybody else. And even she doesn't know what's happening. My children are close to me, and they don't know. The people that are at the campground where we're at have come in the last year. When I predicted certain things that would come to pass, and I said, you don't believe and you don't understand. I said, but if I say these things and they come to pass, this will let you know that what I've been telling you is the truth. And the other things that seem to be so far out, this will make you to know that there must be something to that if the first part came to pass. And they're so shook up until they've come and they've made the statement, Brother Pike, I never dreamed that it could be like that. But I'm beginning to believe that it really is that way after what I've seen. I had a call tonight from Brother Jerry Lambert, and he said he was driving up to the Huntington meeting. He wants to know when we're coming home. Our people call often to know. They want to know when we're going to get back, because there we have them trained enough to where we can teach revelation to them. And usually in meetings round and about, you don't get to preach revelation. You just preach, you know, a little exhortation or something concerning faith or something like that. And you try to refrain from preaching revelation, because most people are accustomed to a 30 or 40 minute sermon at the very most. And a lot of them can't even do that. And when you preach Revelation, an hour and a half is a light sermon. And sometimes I've ministered to my people 4 and 5 hours, and then they still were ready to listen. And people around the nation where we've ministered, that's in Revelation, we've ministered to them over till midnight, and I have ministered all night long till the breaking of the day, and then get ready to quit, and I've had them say, don't stop. Don't stop. And so then, there's one thing for sure. There has to be something somewhere that's coming forth from a supernatural realm if people stay all night and want to stay longer.
Amen.
So I've just tried to preach here just a little bit and share a few things in faith and exhort you. But I'm thankful for the attitude that the people have shown. They have been very kind, and there's only one complaint I've got. They've been real nice to me, and they've listened real good. But I hope you don't get offended, because I don't mean this wrong. But I preached over across the water, and you know, the ocean. I preached from coast to coast in Canada and Mexico. But I've never preached in a state where people get up and go out of the church like they do in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it in my life like that. It's the most astounding thing I ever seen. And I don't mean that wrong or in any arrogant way, because there's a lot of wonderful people here, a lot of intelligent people. I just don't understand their nature in doing that. I would be afraid to do that. But nevertheless, I guess they've got their reasons, you know, why they do that. But I have to admit, I don't quite understand it. Chapter 12, if you've got your Bibles in the book of Daniel, I want to read. I'd like to exhort you a little bit tonight and try to say something that will help you. And I want you to pray, because we're planning to go right on with this meeting. We scheduled the meeting for 11 days, and several days at the beginning I wasn't able to get here. And though we only had, as the world would say, a handful of people, yet I still felt to go on with this meeting. And I know that God is in it, and I know that God's doing something. And I'm just grateful to be here. Now, I could be somewhere else and have a lot of people to preach to and be getting a lot of money. But I'm not interested in the money, and I'm not interested in the people. I'm interested in the will of God and your soul's welfare. And that is the truth. And so I feel that this is where I must be. And I'm thankful to be here. And it's just a real privilege for me to be here. I feel excited. What's happening now is the most adventurous thing that's ever happened to the world, and it's the most exciting thing. I'll say this, and perhaps some of you might not understand my mannerism or my speech. Paul said we're rude in speech but not in knowledge. Sometimes we get rude in the way we present ourselves and the things we say, but we're not rude in the understanding of God. We understand. But to me, why anybody would continue in the world and to go on with worldly things and participate in the activities of the world, why that they would enjoy such frivolous, childish things and things that are so secondary to the real adventure and excitement, I just don't understand. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. And the children of the world are at their play and at their folly. Right. But I have found the real thing, and it's so exciting, and it's so adventurous, and so promising, that all of the things of the world are so childish, and just so much out of my taste and my desire, until I can't understand why people go on with those things out there. But they like them. They like new cars and new houses and frolic and, you know, worldly amusements and all these kind of things. They like it. And, of course, the Bible said Satan savors the things that be of this world. For if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not there. And to be a Christian, you've got to have a love for going to church, a love for fasting, a love for praying, amen, a love for seeing souls saved, a love for adventure out in the world, the unknown with Christ. And you've got to have something that is the mind of God. And if that kind of mind isn't in you, then the Bible teaches that you are dead before God. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life, and it's peace. It's eternal life. And so then I don't understand why they love those things out there when there's something so great that is to be desired. Nothing to be compared to it. Chapter 12, I want you to listen real close now. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now I want to read another little bit here in connection with this. And I want you to listen real close. Say ye, this is the second chapter of Hosea. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruham. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Listen close now. Let her therefore put away her whoredom out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredom. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them,
and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forget me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. All right. I want to pick up a thought, and I want you to listen. I'll try not to hold you long. I've been letting the people go pretty early, and I'll try not to hold you long tonight, but I'd like for you to bear with me just a few minutes tonight as I try to exhort you. The thing I want to talk about tonight is found in chapter 12, and in the fourth verse of chapter 12, which is in the book of Daniel. The thought that I would like to dwell on for just a few minutes tonight is the time of the end. The time of the end. The angel said to Daniel, said, Daniel, seal up the book. And Daniel began to ask questions. Daniel was down by the river. And Daniel, having been a faithful servant of God, all of a sudden, there was something that happened. Daniel was carrying on his daily activities. He was going on with his work. And all of a sudden, just seemingly out of nowhere, there appeared an angel of God. Daniel had been fasting for about 21 days. And all of a sudden, there appeared an angel of the Lord. And this angel of God began to talk with Daniel, and the Bible said that Daniel became as a dead man. Now, I never did know what it meant to become as a dead man until I was down in Miami, Florida, and there the angel of God appeared to me in a vision, and I was as though I was paralyzed, laying on the bed. I couldn't move a muscle. I was just lying there on the bed, and I couldn't do anything. And I learned what it means to become as a dead man when the presence of God comes around. I've heard a lot of people say, I'd like to see angels, and I'd love to talk with angels, but I can assure you tonight that unless you've got something in common with God, you don't want to see an angel, and you don't want to talk with an angel. Now, if you've got something in common with God, and you're really acquainted with God, then it's all right to see angels, and it's all right to talk to angels. But people in this world live so shattered and so far away from God until they would actually have a heart attack if an angel came to them. They would literally die right where they are in their tracks. And so then when God appeared, then I was as a dead man. So I know what Daniel is speaking of here. He said that he became as a dead man and he couldn't do anything until the angel of God walked over and put his hands on Daniel and said, Daniel, receive strength. And Daniel received strength and stood upon his feet. And the angel of God began to talk with him. And Daniel began to see certain things take place. And he said to the angel of the Lord, he said, what meaneth these things, my Lord? And the angel of God said, Daniel, I've come to give you skill in the things of God and to give you understanding in the things of God. And I've come to make you know what's going to befall your people at the time of the end. I've come to let you know, Daniel, because thou art a beloved man of God, I've come to let you know just exactly what I'm going to do in the time of the end. So then he explained to Daniel. And he said, Daniel, great things is going to take place. And he told him, he said, and this will befall your people. And so then Daniel listened. He prayed. He fasted. He listened. He wrote it down in a book that we could have a record of it today. And finally, when the angel finished, Daniel said, Lord, I don't understand. Make me to understand. And God said, Daniel, seal up the book until the time of the end. And I want you to know that today we're in the time of the end, and the book is beginning to be unsealed. At last, we're in the time of the end, and God is looking for somebody that he can open the book to, that they can tell the people what Daniel saw and what Daniel understood and what's about to happen in the day that we're in. Hallelujah. That's what thrills my soul.
It wouldn't make any difference tonight if nobody but me was here. I'd have a good time in God. I've heard people say, well, there's somebody here binding the service tonight, and I can't get loose. But there's one thing about it. You can bind the service all you want to, but you can't bind the hope of glory on the inside of me. I've been by myself in the room praying and praising God and shouting and running and jumping and speaking in tongues, and there wouldn't be nobody around to inspire me. I wouldn't have to have anybody to preach to. I'd just be going up and down the room or out in the woods or wherever I was, hollering, hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, praise God. I didn't have to have anybody to say hallelujah, didn't have to have anybody to say amen, didn't have to have anybody to say praise the Lord. I did it all by myself. And so then when I come to preach to people, it doesn't matter whether they say amen or praise the Lord or hallelujah or what. God has got something that He wants to say to the people. Yes. If they're right with God, God wants to say something to them. If they're not right with God, God wants to say something to them. If they are a harlot, God wants to say something to them. If they're the banker, God wants to say something to them. If they're just a pauper out in the world, God wants to say something to them. I went numbers of times in the bank and began to witness to the banker. And I've had him to push the door or two to the office and say, Brother Pike, just go right on. And I'd preach to the banker. I've been to the judge and lay my hands on the judge and watch the tears come into his eyes as he surrendered his heart to God. I know what it is to talk to the doctors and the lawyers and the judges. I know what it is to talk to the rich. I know what it is to talk to the poor. I know what it is to see every one of them yield their spirit and break before the power of the living God. There is no spirit, there is no demon, there is no power that can set in the congregation of the righteous. When we have people that can set in the congregation of the righteous that are not doing the right thing, there's something wrong with the preacher. But brother, God has given us power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We've got power over every demon, every spirit, every evil power, every affliction, everything that's ever come against the kingdom of God. We've got power over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a man to run out in the road one day. He ran out, he had a knife in his hand, and he jumped up and down, and he was raging. And he said, preacher, said, if you'll just walk out in this road right here, he said, somebody will have to take you back. I rose up from where I was sitting, and I walked right out to where he was at and met him in the middle of the road, but nobody had to bring me back. Hallelujah. When I left, I came back the same way that I went out there. God gives you power tonight over all the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. God wants to do something for you. I understand that through Virginia we got a lot of snake handlers. That's not new to me. We got a lot of snake handlers down here around where I'm from too. Over in the mountains they handle a lot of snakes. But I want to tell you something tonight. That doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove God. That's a bunch of foolishness. And it doesn't prove anything. I've handled snakes before and I didn't handle it to show somebody what it could do. It didn't prove nothing. I picked the snake up, handled the snake, but it didn't prove nothing because God wasn't trying to prove nothing. I turned right around and I saw a sinner do the very same thing, and he wasn't trying to prove anything either. So that don't prove nothing when people do things like that. What God is wanting us to do is do like old Daniel of old. Get right with God and learn the things of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of God and become skillful in the things of God to where we can tell what's going to befall the people and help the people come to God and to the knowledge of Christ. That's what the Lord is looking for. Not a bunch of foolish showmen that want to show off by handling snakes and so forth. Somebody come to me recently and asked me some questions about it. I said, in the first place, I said, it's a false teaching. I said, it's wrong. I said, there's no Bible for it to begin with. When the Bible said that they shall handle serpents or take up serpents and the serpents shall not harm them, or if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them, then the Bible meant exactly what it said when it said it shall not harm them. But a lot of these people feel that when they take up the serpents, that what the Bible means is that the snake won't bite them. They've got the feeling that what God was saying, that the snake won't bite them if they're right with God. A lot of people that get bit, they feel like they're backslid on the faith. But I want to tell you something tonight. If that kind of teaching is right, then Paul was backslid, wasn't he? Because he took up a serpent and the serpent did bite him.
But see, a misinterpretation of the scripture, when the Bible said that they will not harm them, that was exactly what took place in the life of Paul. It didn't harm him. He never swole, or he never swole up. He had no after effects of the bite of the serpent. But I notice a lot of these showmen that go around, when they get bit, they have some after effects. Yeah. I notice they swell up. I notice it does harm them. So then you see, they've got the cart before the horse, and not knowing what they're doing, they're straining in a net and swallowing a cannonball. Right. What we need is not a lot of showmanship, but the Bible commands us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. And the Lord said, Daniel, I want to learn you something. I want to teach you something. When we quit being a bunch of children running around carrying on some kind of show, I'm making a show out of the ministry and trying to get the people to dance by the tune that we pipe, then God will come down to earth, and God will come into our lives, and God will get us down to business with Him. And the Spirit of God will begin to teach us the deep mysteries of Christ, and the church will be translated and taken out of this world. I want to show you something here tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Why was it that Jesus, in talking to His disciples, why was it that He used the terms that it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom? He said to His disciples, it's not given unto them. They said, Lord, said, why is it that you speak to these people in parables, said, seeing that they understand not what you say? Said, they don't understand what you're saying, Lord. So then it said, why do you speak to these people that way? And Jesus said, it is not given unto them. It is not given unto them. It is given unto them that Brother Pike and Brother Ernie and the ministry should preach the gospel to them and make them accountable in the sight of God, that they should know right from wrong. But it is not given unto them to know the deep mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know why? Because it is the mysteries of God that's going to translate the church. It is the mysteries of God that's going to keep you from dying and keep them from putting you in a coffin. It is the mysteries of God that's going to seize the church and cause the church to bypass the grave and go out of here with a shout and a triumph and victory over death, over hell, and over the grave, saying, oh death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? That's why it wasn't given unto them to know. The Lord never intended for them to know. It's given unto them to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. But unto them to have the mysteries, He said, it is not given. But unto you it is given. People do not spend enough time in church studying, trying to understand, or wanting to know to even come into anything with God. That some of the very finest Christians of today is nothing more than little bitty toddling babies. And some of the leading ministers of today that's leading the people out on the field has never gotten out of their spiritual diapers. That sounds like a big statement, don't it? I said, that sounds like a big statement. They're hollering, God will heal you, and I'll lay hands on you, and I'll cast the devil out. And some of them are so bound with the devil, they haven't been loose from the devil in many years. A lot of them got bound with the devil because they played around like that. You start making believe, and the first news you know, the devil will bind you. God's looking for somebody straight, somebody honest, somebody that will speak the word. Some of the ministers that do these things, I want you to know something, folks. Them people, a lot of times that they're running through like that, that's God's wife. I said, that's the bride of Jesus Christ, and you better be careful how you handle it. I don't like for men to put their hands all over my wife. And God don't like for men to put their hands all over His wife. Amen, that's right. The Bible said, touch not the woman. Is that right?
Amen.
That's right. Don't touch her. That's right. Unless you want to marry. That's the Bible. If you marry, it's all right. The bed of the marriage undefiled and all. But otherwise, you're not to touch her. Is that right? Now then, that's Christ's bride coming through. And they treat her just like it's some kind of herd of cattle. Shove her, mistreat her, cause her to be indecent and everything else. But one day God is going to get wore out with that thing, and He's going to tear those people down to where they'll never be built up again, and turn them by the multitudes into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Every person that forgets God shall be turned into hell. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When Brother Paul learned about the revelation of Jesus Christ and spent a number of years in the desert getting the revelation of Jesus Christ, he quit acting like a child and he began to act like a man. Is that right? So then what we need to do tonight is to get into the Spirit of God, get into a settlement with God, and come into a place of contentment with God, and begin to grow in the knowledge of God, and in the grace of God, into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible tells us to be easy to teach. A lot of people are not easy to teach. Now, some people are easy to preach to, but you can preach to the drunkard, because you're going to holler at him. The Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. So that preaching to God is nothing more than foolishness. Is that right? And he chooses a foolish thing to convert the world with. But the Bible said concerning Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. And so then when Jesus came, he would go around and just sit down. Is that right? Find a little boat, shove it out from the shore, sit down. And he began to preach to the people. Can't you just imagine now? An evangelist is supposed to be on fire for God. He comes into your sanctuary. He takes him a seat and he sits down. And then from there he begins to preach. And his whole sermon while he's sitting down is to you. Jesus sat down and began to preach or teach the people. Is that right? Shove out from the shore and begin to feed the multitudes and begin to tell them about the love of God and what they needed to do. And the Bible said sometimes it would take 3 long days for him to finish his message to where the people could understand what he was saying. As a matter of fact, he didn't even give them time to go get a meal, because it was more necessary for them to get something for their soul than something for their belly. The Bible said all of your labor is for your belly, because your belly craves it on you. And this sounds a little comical, but it's true. I've said it before. People get up in the morning and they go to work to make some money so that they can come home, rest a while, go back to bed, get up, feed their belly so they can go to work to make some money, to come home to rest a while, to get back up to feed their belly, to go home, rest a while, to get back up to feed their belly, to go make some money and get back up to feed their belly. You can say amen or oh me. We'll lie for both of them here. Brother Ernie don't mind. You say, Brother Pike, that sounds to me like folks are in a wilderness. That's exactly what the carnal mind is. It's enmity to God. Both folks are choked to death off of the things that God's going to wash down the stream of time. Amen. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruptible things, things that will deteriorate. For if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Is that right? But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap things eternal and everlasting life. I don't want to get into a routine to where I get up in the morning, go work 8 hours to get some food to put on the table to feed my belly, to buy a bed with so I can lay down and rest my belly, so my belly can get up in the morning and eat some more food. I don't want to get in a rut like that. And so Jesus kept them 3 days. And finally he said, these people really need some food. He said, if we don't do something, they'll faint in the way. And so he gave them some bread. The Bible said, blessed is a nation when their king eats for strength and not for gluttony. That's the way Daniel was doing, fasting 21 days. He wasn't eating for gluttony, but he was a ruler in the kingdom and he was there seeking the things of God. What we need to do is to grow up. The Bible said they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. When they come out of Egypt, there was multitudes of them, and they sat down to eat and to drink, but they rose up to play. The church world has sat down to eat and drink, and now they have risen up to play. And they've got everything in the church but what they need, and that is the Son of God. All of their labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it on them. He said, I gave you all, I gave you corn, I gave you wine. He said, but you accredited everything that I gave you to the powers of the flesh. For the word Baal means God of the flesh. He said, and you went whoring after the flesh, after Baal. Did you know the Bible said that all of the world wondered after the beast? Is that right? Every bit of the world wondered after the beast. Now you say, Brother Pike, well, who is that beast? The beast is the flesh. I said the beast is the flesh. The Bible said these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned, and the beast is the flesh. If you never come into the mind of Christ, then you're nothing but a brute beast. And the beast, the world, all of the world shall wonder after the flesh. Is that right? It said the whole world wondered after the beast. The fleshly mind of carnality, of education and power and system. Is that right? It's like Brother Frank Taylor here. When we went through Cincinnati, Brother Taylor liked 30 hours having his BA degree. Almost ready to finish college. Had been there for years and given his life to him. His wife also was a valedictorian in her class and was working in surgery. They had paid up insurance policies, a new car, and was in excellent shape for a young couple. But when we went through that preaching the gospel, he left college. He never finished the 30 hours. He never went back to see about it. He left it. Until that time, he'd never been late for a class, maybe more than a few times. But he left the entire thing and went out on the field for God. And ever since then, he's been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And telling people to get away from the worldly system and the educational slop holes that they've gotten into.
Amen.
Amen. I made a statement here a while back. I said the educational world is a slop hole. And I said you're going to find it out pretty soon. Of course, coming from me, people couldn't understand that. But it wasn't but just a little while before one of the leading educators of the entire nation got up and said, our system has turned into a cesspool of iniquity. I can't remember the exact phraseology that he used, but he said it's turned into a cesspool of iniquity and said we've got to do something about it. I'll tell you the best thing to do about it is to get away from it, because the trouble that started in the garden is when they started leaning to their own understanding and turned to the tree of knowledge, and ever since they've done it, we've had nothing but trouble. Amen. When I was back a boy on the farm, and boys had something to do out there to raise potatoes or help make a living and do something that was worthy of respect, we had a decent world. And boys that did not know anything about college or anything else, through skill, they took understanding from God, and they went to church and they built us a great nation. They built us a great nation. Is that right? But then we turned around and we thought we turned to the college and to the educational system of the world, and we've hatched off a bunch of bastard children.
That's right.
That's nothing more than hippies and sexual perverts and everything else that's wrecking the society that God gave us through good common sense.
Hallelujah.
You can say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Amen. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, blind leaders of the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, what would we do without these great modern conveniences of today? What would we do without our great colleges of today? All right, I'm willing to answer that question if you'll answer one for me first. What did Moses do without all the great modern conveniences when he took them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness? I said they got a good education, but he didn't have any colleges. I said that they had plenty to do, but they didn't have any plants of industries. I said that none of them got sick. The Bible said their feet never swelled on them, but they didn't have any physicians. Is that right? I'm going to say this, and I know this isn't going to sound good, but I've made the statement. I can't understand why some man that's got some PhD degree or some doctor's degree has the right to take your wife off in some room by himself and strip her down like a common prostitute and a harlot and say, I'm your family physician. As far as I'm concerned, he's a man he needs to keep his hands off.
Right, amen.
Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said the whore is the great ditch. The other night I preached the end of all flesh. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man.
All flesh had corrupted its way before God. What is it? It's the educational institution of the walked up tree of knowledge. That's what's causing the trouble. That's what's causing us problems, brother. We're forcing our children to go to hell by the multitudes. And the government, we're standing behind it, and the government's holding a hammer over our head and robbing us of every dollar and everything that we can get a hold of. Wake up, folks. Hallelujah. I said there's a midnight cry and everybody's asleep, and we need to shake ourselves and wake up. Amen. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and that day Michael shall stand for his people. At the time of the end, there shall be an angel of God that shall come forth by the name of Michael. And the Bible said, in the time of the end, he shall stand for his people. In the day of the time of the end, then Michael shall stand up for his people. And in that hour, there shall be great trouble. There shall be signs in the stars. There shall be distress of nation. There shall be perplexities, earthquakes, and tornadoes in all of the stars of earth. In the day when Michael stands for his people. What kind of condition is it? I've watched some of our more holy than thou Pentecostal people. And I believe with all my heart that you ought to be Pentecostal. But Pentecostal is no more than a Jewish holiday. I said they celebrated Pentecost, and when you say you're Pentecostal, that don't mean nothing. I don't read where they ever called them Pentecostal. The Bible said at Antioch they called them Christians because it was Christ-like. Yeah. Not Pentecostal because it was Pentecostal-like. But they were Christ-like. They had a nature on the inside that acted like Jesus. Is that right? Amen. So then I believe that we ought to be holy. But we got some more holy than thou. They'll condemn a person in miniskirts. They'll condemn a person in shorts. You can say amen on me. I said they'll count down, they'll wreck them. But the same one that's doing the talking, that's got the long tongue, has been up yonder with a doctor somewhere in a room, and the doctor stripped him off and treated him like a common prostitute. Somebody said, but there's no buts about it. Hell is just as hot for one as it is for another.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of these more sanctimonious people come in, and they really blaze out against somebody that maybe don't know nothing about nothing. For the more holy than thou. And then you go into their living room somewhere and you see a Sears and Roebuck catalog. Can you hear what I'm saying? I said you find a Sears and Roebuck catalog. Listen, somebody said that stupid preacher preaching against Sears and Roebuck. I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. You listen just a few minutes. I'm not stupid. I might be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I said, when did God ever give Sears and Roebuck the right to print a book of naked men and naked women and get it into every home and say, this is all right because this has got Sears and Roebuck on it? God will put Sears and Roebuck in hell with you and all the rest. Amen. Hallelujah, love the Lord. I said, God don't give you no right to look at lewdness. I don't care if it's in the Alden catalog or the Sears catalog or the dirty picture that you've got hanging on the wall or in the newspaper or on the sign or wherever it's at. God said we're to perfect holiness unto the Lord.
Yeah.
God is the spirit of holiness. Somebody said, my, Brother Pike, you don't leave nothing. You don't leave nothing. There ain't supposed to be nothing. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
Clean up. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. They get off in their rooms and they lust. And they become gluttonous and evil. And then they condemn the world out yonder when they've done three times as bad. I'm against miniskirts. I don't think you ought to wear them. And if you wear them, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, I want you to hear me real close. If you wear miniskirts, you're going to burn in the flames of hell. I don't care what preacher tells you different. That's what the book says. You run around in shorts, you're going to die in hell. You're going to perish in the flames. You sit under television and you drink in the filthy lust of the wild imagination of Hollywood, and you're going to die and burn in the flames of hell. Amen. I don't care if you come to church, you pay your tithes, shake hands with the preacher, don't have anything to do with it, folks. You're still going to die and go to hell. Amen or on me, whichever side you're on, just holler, it's all right. Hallelujah. What is it? It's a day of cleaning up.
Yeah.
It's a day like in the day of Paul, when Paul told them to get their books and we're going to have a book burning. Somebody said books are not important. That's why Paul burned them up. I said he just got a collection of them and he burned them up. Amen. He took the things out and he burned them up. We need somebody to go around and collect the garbage and burn it up.
Yes.
Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I don't see that. Well, you're just going to make it hard on God, because someday he's going to collect the garbage and burn it up. If you don't get it burned up first, he'll burn the garbage up and burn you with it because you didn't burn it up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then it's cleaning up time. God's wanting the people. Somebody said, I can't understand why the church hasn't been raptured. I do. The church ain't got born again. I said, they ain't got born again. They're acting like children. They're straining a net, swallowing a camel. But brother and sister, when you come out from among the world, be your separated people and get right with God. The Spirit of God will come inside. The Spirit of God will heal you and raise you up and carry you away from here. My arm is not short that I cannot reach it. Thy iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. So then you say, what is it, Brother Pike? Listen for just a few more moments. What is it that's causing the trouble? What is the problem? Somebody say, if we don't have doctors, I'd love to know how children are going to get into this world. You want me to tell you how? In the Old Testament, when a man married a woman, there was somebody that went along with her. You ever read it in the Bible? Read it in the Old Testament. I said, when a woman married a man, there was another woman that went with her. She was called a handmaid. And Rachel had a handmaid. And Leah had a handmaid. What was the handmaids for? The handmaids was to be a midwife to bring the children into the world in decency according to the way that God wanted them to be brought in, and so that men could have a wife as a real lady.
Yes.
Can you say amen? Amen. What is it? The woman is the type of the church. What's happened to the church? The preachers have turned her into a spiritual prostitute. Amen. That's right. They have a spiritual frolic with her, but they never cause it to travail to bring in, to bring children into the world through the real seed of Christ. They become what the world calls sterile to the Word of God. They don't preach the blood anymore, and the life is in the blood. Therefore, they have become of no advantage to God, and God's going to burn them all in hell. It's just one big frolic. That's why the churches are overrun now with the filth that is in them. The Bible said the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. So then if the wicked can sit in the congregation of the church, it is a positive proof that the church is not righteous. Is that right? When Jesus preached, demons jumped up and said, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? Have thou come to torment us before our time? I was preaching down in South Georgia, and I began to preach the gospel, and the devil jumped up and began to scream out and say things against me right in the congregation. Why? The Bible said that they railed on Stephen and they stoned him to death. They beheld his face as that of an angel, could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake, but they stoned him to death. Why? The Bible said in the book of Revelation, when the two prophets come on the scene, that they'll torment the people. And the people will literally be tormented. Somebody said, well, I believe the gospel is glad tidings of great joy. I believe that too. But the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. A lot of times the congregation needs to be grieved instead of shouting. A lot of times they need to be grieved from a good old-fashioned chastening, like when Paul said, shall I come unto you with a rod?
Amen.
For he said, afterwards it yielded the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We have too much frolic in the church. I believe in a shouting good time, and we have it down at the tabernacle. I believe we ought to praise God, but sometimes the congregation is real grieved because we have to get out the rod. I said we have to get out the rod.
Amen.
You love the Lord, but you know why these other boys don't get out the rod? They're afraid they'll lose your pocketbook. I said, them the hypocrites that fill the church, a lot of them put an extra offering in the pot, and they're afraid they'll run them off. They're afraid if they come down the line that some of them won't come back anymore, and they won't have the support that they need. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not looking for support. Hallelujah. The Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help. I'm leaning on God. The Bible said God lifted up one and God putteth down another, and God creates the good and God creates the evil, and God has his way in both. Is that right?
That's right. Amen.
And God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Is that right? God raised up Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh was raised up down there, God told old Abraham just before he did it. He said, Abraham, he said, the iniquity of the Egyptians are not full yet. He said, there's an appointed time. There's an appointed day. He said, when it gets full, he said, I'll make a change. Is that right? He said, I've raised up Pharaoh for this purpose. But I'll make a change. I'm going to raise up a man by the name of Moses. Is that right? Yeah. At the appointed time, when a president comes into office, God raised him up. The Bible said in the Old Testament, when the people do wicked, that God raises up a cruel ruler. Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear what I'm saying? I said, the Bible says that when the people turn away from God and the people do wickedly, that God raises up a wicked ruler. Now, what are we getting at? The time of the end. He said in that day there'll be no remedy for the people. He said you sin till there's no more remedy for it. Here, there's no more remedy. Your orators can't save you anymore. No man shall save you. No president, nobody. Is that right? So then, in the time of the end, what is he doing? The people have sinned so that God is raising up a wicked man called Antichrist. Is that right? Why? Because they've forsaken the fountain of living waters. They've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold any water. Is that right? They've committed two evils. They've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold any water, and they've forsaken the living God. Hallelujah, the fountain of living waters. I said they walked off and left him. What's the matter, folks? It's because we don't have time to be holy. I've heard people say, well, I can't stay long enough to hear the sermon. I can't go to church. I can't take time to be over there. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. But the Bible said that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep God's commandments. That's all you got to do. And the Bible said that you are to take time to be holy. It didn't ask you if you'd had time. God didn't ask you if you had time. He said, take time to be holy. Is that right? When Peter preached, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, he didn't ask the people if they wanted to do that. He didn't ask the people. He didn't say, would you like to do it this way or that way? Did he? The Bible said that he commanded them to repent or perish, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? God has never made requests. I don't understand preachers that go through the land that make salvation optional. They'll get up and they'll say, dear souls and dear hearts, if you feel this is the right thing to do, you come up here. Or if you'd like to join up with this, that's all right. But now, if you don't feel to do it, well, God, he understands because you're sovereign and you can do what you want to. Now, I want to say something, folks. Let me tell you something. If there's a bridge out down the road, and I knew the bridge was out down the road, and you was headed down to go into the river, and I went out to your car, and I said, it would be better if you didn't go down that road. But nevertheless, you're sovereign. If you want to go down the road, well, it's all right. Everything's going to be all right. I'd be a big liar, wouldn't I? To me, there's not much sovereignty in that kind of thing, is it? If you've got good sense, you won't go down the road. Is that right? And it's the same way with God. God didn't say you could or couldn't. He said you must repent or perish. There is no optional thing to it from God. God sent the preachers to tell you that you're contrary to godliness. And if you don't repent of your sins, God said, I'll turn all nations into hell that forget God. Right. Germany, China, Russia, and all the rest. America too. Man. There is no respect to person. There is no request. God doesn't say if you want to quit wearing your miniskirts, if you want to quit hanging your jewels on your ears and bobbing your hat and doing the ungodly things of the world. He doesn't say you can do it if you want to, but if you don't want to, I'll just give you another slice of the cake. He didn't say I'll let you in at 30-fold just because you want to run around with miniskirts. He didn't say I'll let you in at 60-fold just because you want to chop your hair off like a heathen and hang rings in your ears. That's why I read to you tonight out of the Word. The Bible said, preach the Word. And in the Word tonight, he said, they've left me, and they've decked themselves with jewels, and they went after the lovers of the world. Is that right?
That's right.
And because they had not a love for the truth, ever learning, never able to come to the truth knowledge. Is that right? You say, what is the truth? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you got to repent or perish. Amen. You got to be baptized in His name because He is the door and there ain't no other way to get in.
Right.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Jesus said, it's my Father has sent me, so send I you. And He said to the preachers, He said, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit. Is that right? And the Bible said, be baptized for the remission. And the Bible said that the remission is in none other name except the name of Jesus. When a person is baptized, it wouldn't make no difference if you called them. It wouldn't make no difference what you call over them. I said, you could call the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah. You could call anything you wanted to, but when they come up out of the grave, they've not been baptized. Because remission of sin is not in the name Father, it's not in the name Son, it's not in the name Holy Ghost. The Bible said remission of sin shall be taught in His name, beginning at Jerusalem, because He died for the remission of sin, and that remission is in none other name except the name Jesus. And the Bible said that the minister was to do the remitting by the means of the water, for remission is by the water. Is that right? And in the name. So you put them all together, take the one that does the remitting, and take the way it's remitted, which is the water, and take the name in which the remission is, and you got somebody buried in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now you can try it any other way, but it won't work. Now it'll do all right for you to join the church, and somebody will say you're part of our movement. But when you get over yonder, you're going to have a church name that you live, but you're going to stand there dead, because in Christ, or in Isaac, shall thy seed be called.
Yes.
Nobody else. All right, listen. Let me say this. I'm going to close now in just a few minutes. I'm just still exhorting you. Just still exhorting you. I just want to say a few more things. What is it? The time of the end. Folks, we're at the time of the end, and the seals are being taken off the book.
Yes.
Now you say, how do you know, Brother? No, Brother Pike. I know because the seals has already been taken off to me. In my heart tonight, Paul spoke of his much revelation. And tonight, the seals have been taken off. Let me tell you something. The veil, which is the carnal mind, that got over the minds of the people from the garden experience, from the tree of knowledge, that veil of carnality that's enmity with God, that veil is still over the minds of the people until today. Which veil is intellectual reasoning, and it is done away with, not in joining a church, but in Christ.
Amen.
When you get in Christ, you can see God, folks. No man shall live and see God. The trouble with folks is they ain't dead. But when folks die, they can see God. When God drove Adam out of the garden, he couldn't get back in until he died. Is that right? That flaming cherub is standing there. You say, who is that flaming cherub? It's that minister. The Bible said, I'll make my minister a flame of fire. He's got a sword in his hand, because the Bible said he beareth not the sword in vain. He is God's minister set there to execute judgment and wrath upon him and do evil. Moses said, God, why does thy wrath wax hot against the people? And so then with the flaming sword. And you can't get by that flaming sword of the word. Is that right? Said, for the word came forth from his mouth. John said, I saw him, and it was like the sun shining in his strength, and a two-edged sword came forth from his mouth. The word of God. Is that right? Is that right? Cutting asunder even to the discerning of the spirit and to the dividing of the marrow from the bone and the separation of the spirit and the soul. Is that right? How many know that Jesus died to make a door between here, heaven and earth, so we could pass through? How do you know that? So the demons wouldn't get us, crossing over Jordan. Since Jesus opened the door, there's been people going in and out the pasture. Hallelujah. The spies went over Jordan and spied out the land and come back and said, there's beautiful grapes over there. Amen. That's right. Got a bunch of hypocrites that come back. They get one look, you know, and they say, there's so many giants over there, there's no way to ever live a holiest life. But somebody else come back and said, don't worry, we're well able to take the land.
Amen.
God said, a bunch of hypocrites that complain and mumble, I'll cut them off in the wilderness of the intellectual reasoning. Is that right? That's why I said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Believe in God, and God will bring it to pass, because all of the promises of God are yea and amen in the Lord. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So then, the veil was over Rebekah. But when she got into the mother's tent, how do you know that heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all? How do you know that? When Isaac took her into the tent, the mother's tent, into the mother's tent. Hallelujah. When she got in there, then he took the veil away. And the Bible said when the glass darkly is gone, that old carnal beast reasoning, that's carnality and enmity with the spiritual mind of supernatural things, said when that old carnal mind of that glass darkly is gone, that is taken away in Jesus Christ, he said, then we shall see face to face, and then we shall know as we are known.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's what we want to do tonight, is hang on Calvary and rend the veil from top to bottom so that the ark of his testament can be seen on the inside of his temple. How many believe you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Led as sheep to the slaughter, dumb before the shepherd to open not the mouth. But in all of this we are more than conquerors through him that saved us and give out his life for us. I want you to stand with me. There's a whole lot of things I'd like to say. I just dropped in a fragment of Revelation, just a tiny fragment there. Wish we could take a continuity and bring it out and show you just where we're living. We got some tapes if you want them. All you got to do is send for them. They don't cost you anything. There's hundreds of tapes that we preached on spiritual revelation. They'll come to you in little cassette form if you'll write for them. They've got reproducers that reproduce them every 45 seconds. All you got to do is send for them. Revelation. But I say one thing, if you want it, be really mean business with God. Don't you dare get out into spiritual places unless you mean business with God. Don't you do it, because you'll get bound hand and feet by the devil. You mean business with God, mean to live a holy life to the best of your knowledge and ability, do the best you can, and then when you stumble, the grace of God will make up for it. I want to show you something right hurriedly. Listen, let me give you an illustration. God can't help a careless mother. Now listen real close. God can't help a careless mother. A mother that will sit around and won't watch her children and let her children wander all over the place and children are going to get killed. She can sit there and say that God's going to look after them all she wants to, but they're going to get killed. God can't do it. For God to do that, he's got to violate the principles of godliness and support a demon of lethargy. And God can't do it. But a good mother that will make every effort to watch her children, and then the children get out of her sight, and then the children get in danger, God will send the angels down there and take care of that child and drive back the danger, because the mother's doing the best she can, and God can, by all means, support her and stand with her, because it's not a spirit of lethargy. Is that right? That's the way it is with God. If you want to live right, you can. If you stumble, God will help you. Be strong in the power of his might. If you're weak and can't overcome, overcome anyway. Bible said when you've done all that you can to stand and you can't stand, stand anyway.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? Being strong in the power of his might. The Lord loves you tonight and he wants to help you. But folks, he means business. You believe he means business? He means business. God didn't send me here for nothing. He told Paul one time, said, I've got many people in this city. Don't be afraid, Paul. The devil fought him, said, don't be afraid. He said, I've got many people here. I perceive that God's got many people in West Virginia. He's going to wake them up. He's going to stir them up. And they're going to come to the battlefront, and God's going to make a move. You watch and see. Amen. I hear the rustling in the mulberry tree. When old David didn't know what to do, and he got backed up in the corner and had to get back in the cave and looked like he was defeated, he began to pray and call on God. And when he began to call on God, God came down there and said, David, everything's all right. He said, I'm going to give you a sign, David. He said, get your men ready. And said, after a while, he said, when you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, you'll know the move's on. Just go on, David, and everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Old brother David listened for the sound, and that angel came down there and began to whirl around that mulberry tree, and strength and courage hit David. And them warriors jumped up from there, and David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Hallelujah, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. I drink a lot of water. I get hot and sweaty and I get to thinking about hell, fire, and brimstone.
And the rich man said, let me have one drop, just one drop of water. And the more I think about it, the better that water tastes. Hallelujah. Just to think, folks, that you're going to be cut off and not even have one drop. One drop. I walk over here and I pick up this cold water. I'm sweating, thirsty. And I pick it up. A lot of times out in the congregation, I've seen people. And I've seen them sitting there. It'd be a hot July day. Sweat dripping off of them. And they couldn't get to that water. But I could, you know. I could get to that water, but they couldn't do it because there was a gulf between us. An ordinance of the church. And they couldn't get to it. And I could tell that they're miles long to get a taste. Just one drop of that cold water. And I'd turn it up and drink it. That's the way it was with old brother Abraham. Old brother Abraham could turn it up and drink it. And the rich man looked up and said, Abraham, give me just a drop. Just a drop. Just a drop. He said, son, I can't get down there. Turned it up and drank it. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I believe that's why God put the Ohio River here and so much water in the world, because he knew in that world was going to be dry places, and he couldn't hardly stand the thoughts of the creature not having water. But they are the ones that cut themselves off. How many of you know that God didn't send death? Are you listening? I said, God didn't send death. Some folks act like death's God's first cousin. God didn't send death. The Bible said God hath no pleasure in death. The Bible said death came by man. Man sinned and brought death. God didn't bring it. Jesus came to eradicate it and take it away. God don't want you to die. God don't want you to be sick. That's right, folks. God don't want you to be sick. God don't want you to be dead. God wants you to praise him. He created you to love him. Is that right? To praise him. He don't want you to be in poverty. He said, I want above all things that you prosper and be in health. Is that right? Even as your soul prospers. Is that right? Thine iniquities have kept thee back. Thy soul refused to prosper. Is that right? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. God bless you. I got a better congregation tonight than I had last night. Had more last night, but few of them had to leave early. But I believe he's going to stay through the whole sermon. I think he's about the first congregation I had stayed through the whole sermon. I must be making progress. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. We sing this chorus sometime, Brother Ernie. I really like this little chorus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Oh, sing of his wonderful love. Sing it with me again, will you? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Do you love him? I sang this little chorus. We sang this quite a lot down home. It's an old timer called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. You want to sing it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Can you sing it like this? Praise God, 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 praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now tonight I'm not going to try to pray for anybody. We prayed for the people last night just as a whole. And the night before we laid hands on one or two of them. But we will, before the revival's over, whether we have a big congregation or a little congregation, if you come out and you want us to lay hands on you, we'll pray for you and God will heal you. You say, how do you know that God will heal me, Brother Pike? I might be one of them that God don't want to heal. Did you know I don't know of any living human being in the world that God don't want to heal? How do you know that's true? How do you know that? Somebody said, well, I believe there's folks that God don't want to heal. Do you believe there's folks that God don't want to save? The Bible said it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God's the same way about healing. It's not God's will that any be sick. Is that right? God will heal you. Say, how do you know that God will heal you? Because the Bible said if I can believe in my heart and not doubt, I can have whatsoever I say. Is that right? I say God will heal you. You love Him? All right, let's sing this little chorus like this. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in Thy new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. Do you believe it? Wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and a shiny crown. For when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. When will we wear it? At the time of the end. You believe it? You believe it? I want you to bow your heads with me now. Just before Brother Taylor comes or Brother Ernie here, I want you to bow your heads. And I want to pray for you tonight. I want to ask God to help you tonight. Would you do that? Just close your eyes. Bow your heads. And I'm going to pray for you tonight. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, I thank you for what I feel tonight. I thank you, God, because I feel your spirit. Hallelujah. I thank you because I feel the troubling of the waters. And oh God, tonight, I pray, Jesus, God, that every yoke will be broken. I pray tonight by your spirit, Lord, that every yoke will be broken and every disease will be taken away. Father, every discomfort tonight, I pray, Jesus, in your name. Father, that it be taken away. And dear God, the power of deliverance will be here with the people. Father, to heal the sick. Father, to lift up those that are cast down. And Father, to pour the oil and wine into the broken heart tonight. To heal, Jesus. And to save tonight. And to do something special for the people. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise